Have you ever wondered what the secret to happiness is? What the secret to a blessed life is? It seems like this is something we are always looking for. People travel around the world looking for the answer to this question. People explore all different kinds of things. They try all different kinds of things. They buy all different kinds of things, practice all different kinds of things, looking for the answer to that question. What makes someone blessed? Yet more often than not, it seems like we always end up falling short of that answer. And perhaps we need to look in an unexpected place this morning. Today, as we conclude our Advent sermon series, Worship and Christmas, the Liturgy Elements of Advent, we're going to explore the last element of liturgy, which is the benediction. And this is always the last thing we do in every worship service. It's where Richie or myself will read a specific passage of Scripture to conclude the service. And if you have grown up in the church or if you're a regular attender, you're familiar with this practice. You've seen us do this Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But maybe you've never known the significance of the benediction or why we even do it. And I would argue that it's precisely here in an unexpected place where we are reminded and informed of the answer of one of life's biggest questions, and what makes someone blessed. So, if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open them up to Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And let's dive into this unexpected place and begin by reading the first benediction that we find in Scripture. Again, that's Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And it's here where we can first start to unravel this answer. Starting in verse 22, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.'" This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it is holy and perfect, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us understand this text, that you would help us rest and dwell in these truths and discover what it means to be blessed. Amen. One legend that many people over the years have been captivated by is the legend of the Holy Grail. And many of you have probably become acquainted with some of the fictional legends that surround the Holy Grail through Hollywood's movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which is all about the Holy Grail, or perhaps even the British comedy Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But the Grail, according to legend, was said to be the cup that Christ used during the Last Supper, and it was then brought to the crucifixion where it received some of the blood that was dripping down Christ's side. It was then brought to Great Britain by Joseph of Arimathea, according to legend, where it lay hidden for centuries. And then the search for this vessel then later became one of the main quests of the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur. And it's said in these legends that the Grail, it possessed powers that would lead to a blessed life. It could provide eternal life, healing, happiness, and abundance. So basically, if one finds this cup, then everything in life will be blessed. Now, while the legend of the Holy Grail and the powers that surround the cup are clearly made up, let me ask you this. Why is the story of the Holy Grail so captivating? Well, it's so captivating because I believe we're all looking for something that will bless us, especially something tangible, something that we can hold, point to, and touch. And this is why there's part of us that almost wishes that there was something like this legend that was true. We long to find something that will make our life blessed, happy, fulfilled, complete, something that can solve all of our problems. You know, what is the problem with the legend of the Holy Grail, besides the fact that it's made up? Well, the problem is that the legend derives from the belief that the source of blessing in life can come from something other than God. It comes from the belief that the cup that the Savior used is more useful than the Savior himself. Do you catch that? That we should pursue and worship the cup of the Savior instead of worshiping and pursuing the Savior himself. You see what's wrong with that line of thinking. Yet, we make the same mistake all the time. We pursue blessing apart from God. And this is very easy to see in our culture, in our society. And many of you, you probably noticed that there's a recent trend right now in our culture with using the word blessed. Typically, blessed is a religious word, so you would think only maybe, you know, religions would use it. But right now, it's widespread. Our culture loves the word blessed. It's incredibly popular, and right now, it's all over the internet. It's all over social media. And so let me give you some examples. If you were to look up or search for blessed on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, you would see a lot of posts similar to this. You might see people who posted a picture of them in their new car, and they have a one-word caption, blessed. And typically it's hashtag blessed. And if you don't know what a hashtag is, that's another discussion for another day. Or another example, people get a new job in their Facebook or Twitter account, it reads, got a new job, hashtag blessed. Or people will post a picture of them, this is one of my favorites, sitting on a gorgeous island beach, say something like, catching some rays, hashtag blessed. Or people will win some type of award. You frequently see this with celebrities on TV or athletes. They'll win something big, they'll post a picture of themselves, and one of the captions is, hashtag blessed. Or lastly, even around the holidays, around Christmas or New Year's, you'll even see common ones on Facebook that might say, I'm home with family, hashtag blessed. I'm home, hashtag blessed. Now, if we were to critically evaluate these posts and these taglines, though, what are they really saying? They're really saying, I have a new car, therefore I'm blessed, because my car is what blesses me. I have a new job, therefore I'm blessed, because this job is what blesses me. I'm on vacation, therefore I'm blessed, because vacation is what blesses me. I won this award, I'm with family, I'm home, therefore I'm blessed, because these things are what bless me. In other words, they're all essentially saying, this thing is my source of blessing. Now, if you've done this before, I'm not trying to shame you, because this is something we are all guilty of, whether or not you post on social media or not. We all look to a variety of things, apart from God, as our source of blessing. And sometimes, these are things that we currently possess. And sometimes they're things that we're yet to possess. And maybe the latter situation describes you this morning. Maybe you're thinking, if I could just have this one thing, then my life would be blessed. If I could just get that newest laptop, iPad, or material thing, fill in the blank, then I would be blessed. If I could just be a part of that social group, then I would be blessed. If I could just do what I wanted, if I could be free from my parents, then I would be blessed. If I could just have a child, then I would be blessed. If I could just get this promotion, then I would be blessed. Or if I could just find my significant other, then I would be blessed. But you see, whether we are seeking blessing from things or from things that we've yet to acquire, we need to ask ourselves this question. Are these things truly our source of blessing? Are these things truly what makes someone blessed? And this is why we should pay close attention whenever we say the words or hear ourselves saying the words, I'm blessed. Because most of the time we're highlighting our holy grail. We're highlighting an idol that we perhaps worship. We're highlighting something other than God that we believe is the source of our blessing. And as I said before, this is something that all of us are guilty of. We're all guilty of looking for blessing in all the wrong places. Where have you been looking? So then what's the answer? Where does our blessing come from? Well, as I stated before, perhaps we're given the answer to this question in an unexpected place. Perhaps we've been hearing the answer again and again and again without ever recognizing it. Perhaps all we need to do is to look more closely at something that we encounter each week at church, the benediction. And if you're unfamiliar with this word, benediction simply means blessing. And in the liturgical tradition of Israel and also the church, the benediction or the blessing would conclude the worship service. And this is why at Gashland you'll hear Richie or myself give a benediction or a blessing at the end of each and every service. But again, why do we do this? What's the significance of it? Well, the significance of the benediction is fourfold. It reminds God's people of four things. The first is, it shows us where our blessing comes from. Secondly, what our blessing is. Thirdly, how we receive that blessing. And fourthly, why we receive that blessing. So first, let's take a look at where the source of our blessing is. If you still have your Bibles open in Numbers, let's just reread our passage. Verses 22 through 27. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. In this passage, it's unmistakable where our blessing comes from, the Lord, right? And it's emphasized in this text in two ways. First of all, grammatically speaking, there's no need to repeat God's name three times in verses 24 through 26. There's no need for it. But nonetheless, God's name is repeated three times. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It is the Lord who is the source of your blessing. Yet as if that weren't enough, our text emphasizes this point in a second way. In verse 27, it says, I will bless them. And in the Hebrew, that I, it's emphatic. So literally this verse would be translated as, I myself will bless them. Our text is repeating to us again and again and again that the Lord and nothing else is our source of our blessing. But why the repetition? Why emphasize this point so vigorously in the text? It's because we are forgetful people. We frequently forget that the Lord and the Lord alone is our source of blessing. And because of this, we look for blessing in all the wrong places. We look for blessing where no blessing can be found. It's like looking for fish in the middle of an arid desert. We're not going to find anything. And that's why we need to be reminded time and time again, despite how obvious it is that fish are only found in water, that blessing is only found in the Lord. It is the Lord, it is the Lord, it is the Lord Himself alone that is the source of our blessing. And Numbers is trying to beat that into our heads. But let's move on secondly. We now know where our blessing comes from. Let's take a look at what our blessing is. Let's take a look at verses 24 through 26 again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In these three verses, in each verse we see a pairing of two verbs. So there's six verbs total. And these six verbs, they help us understand exactly what our blessing is. So let's just start with the very first verb, which is a generic verb. The Lord bless you. What does that word actually mean, to bless? Well, it's most basic and broad level in Scripture. To bless means to give favor, goodness, and abundant life. Favor, goodness, and abundant life. Now, I want you to slow down here and actually think about what this means. Try to comprehend the implications of this. One aspect of blessing is having favor. And it's not just the favor of anyone. It's the favor of the God of the universe. Now, when someone favors you, what does that entail? Well, typically it means you have their approval. You're cared for. You're looked after. They do things to help you, support you. They make you succeed. They help you flourish. And here we are stating that we are blessed by receiving favor from the Almighty, all-powerful God. This is something we can actually have. But on top of this, we're also given goodness and life abundant. The God of the universe blesses us and gives us every good gift we have. Not to mention that He blesses us by giving us life and life abundant. That's what it means to be blessed by the Lord. Are you comprehending this? Are you following this? See, so many times we fail to value the blessing that we have in the Lord. But how precious is it to know that the God of the universe gives us His favor, His goodness, His life? But let's move on to the next five verbs, because they also help us understand some more specific ways that God blesses us. The next verb is keep. Verse 24 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. See, here we discover that part of God's blessing is His protection of us. The Lord is the one who sustains us, who keeps us, who will let nothing separate us from His love. Yet Israel, they struggled to trust that this was true. They frequently sought protection and comfort in their own strength, in their own numbers, and forming alliances with countries like Assyria and Egypt, who are the superpowers of the world, they failed to see the blessing they had in the Lord. And we also struggle to trust that this is true for us as well. We often place more confidence in our own self-sufficiency, in our own strength, in our own bank accounts, in our own connections, in our own nation, than we do in the Lord. Yet our blessing does not come from these things. It is the Lord who keeps us. He is the one who protects us and watches over us. So we must remember that one way the Lord blesses us is through keeping us. The next verb is found in verse 25. It says, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that the Lord make His face to shine upon us? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been outside on a really cold day, maybe one like today, and it's overcast, and all of a sudden the clouds split apart, and the sun comes shining through on your face, and you're suddenly greeted with the sun's warmth, and it almost feels like the sun's presence and joy is just radiating on your face? You ever feel that before? That's kind of what this verse is getting at. Or one theologian, he put it a different way. He said, have you ever seen anyone's face shine before? Perhaps you've watched a young couple who's newly married as they walk together in the park, and you just see how they look at each other. They glow with delight and being together. This is also what this verse is getting at. The heart of blessing is the presence of God. But it's not just a neutral presence. It's God delighting in us, so much so that his face shines upon us. Blessing is being greeted with God's warmth, his joy, his favor, his affection, his pleasure, his goodness. We're blessed because we're given this intimate face-to-face relationship with God where he delights in us. And we shouldn't miss this because this is really important. See, God is not just the place where our blessings come from. He is our blessing himself. You know, God's not like a Walmart, right? Where you just go to get whatever you need. He is the very thing we need. He is the very thing we're looking for. He is our blessing. And when he delights in us in such a way that he makes his face to shine upon us, we are very blessed indeed. The next verb in our passage is to be gracious. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, how does this help us understand what blessing is? Well, blessing is grace. We must remember that we have no right to claim God's blessing. It's not something that can be earned. It's not something that any of us deserve. In reality, we deserve God's curses. We deserve God's wrath to be against us. We deserve for God's hand to be against us in every single thing that we do in this life because we've rebelled against God. Because of this, when we talk about blessing we have in God, we need to realize that blessing is grace. Everything that God gives us, we don't deserve. And more importantly, or most importantly, he gives us himself. He reconciles our relationship with himself, something that we in no shape or fashion deserve. So the fact that God does not give us what we do deserve, wrath, punishment, but the fact that God gives us the very things we don't deserve, is a blessing. The fifth verb in this passage is lift. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now, what does that mean? We don't use that word countenance very often, but countenance simply means face. So this verse is essentially saying the Lord lift up his face upon you. And you still might be wondering, what's the significance of that? Well, in Scripture, if the Lord hides his face from us, it means that he's angry. So if he lifts up his face to us, it demonstrates his love, his care, his affection. It reveals that he's present. It reveals our relationship with him. It reveals that he's paying attention to us, that he's there for us. And what a blessing that is to know that the Lord is with us. And this then takes us to the last verb of give. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, typically, we think of peace only in a narrow way. We think of peace as the absence of conflicts, or you might even think of peace as the calm in the midst of conflicts. But biblically speaking, peace is a lot bigger than that, right? It's a lot bigger than that. Peace, as one scholar put it, is fullness of life. It's fullness of life, or in other words, wholeness in all areas of life. That's what true peace is, wholeness in all areas of life. Or another scholar put it this way, peace is the sum of all good which God sets, prepares or establishes for his people. That's what blessing is. So to recap real quick, blessing is the favor, abundance, and the goodness that God gives us. It's the protection and safekeeping that we have in the Lord. It is his presence and his delight in us. It is his grace that he gives us. It's his love, care, attention, and affection. And it is wholeness in all areas of life, the sum of all good that God gives us. So we've talked about where our blessing comes from, what our blessing is, but there's still that important question of how do we receive blessing? Now you might also be wondering at this point, Michael, I know Christmas is over, but I thought this sermon was supposed to be part of the Advent series. How does this relate to Christmas? Good question. No, just kidding. This is where our third point comes in. How do we receive blessing from God? It is only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. As we discussed earlier, we have no right to claim blessing from God. We don't deserve it. The only thing we do deserve is God's curses. And if you look at the book of Deuteronomy, it's really interesting. There's a passage where you see at the end, there are blessings that God gives to his people for obedience, and there's curses for disobedience. And guess which route we all took? Disobedience. So all we deserve are God's curses, to die for our sins, to face the eternal wrath of God. So then how does God give us his blessing? How can Richie or I pronounce God's blessing on God's people when they deserve God's curses? We are blessed because Jesus was cursed. We are blessed because Jesus was cursed. That is why Jesus became a man. He became a man to take the curse of man upon himself. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas. As one theologian said so eloquently, he says, that's why the cross is the very antithesis of the benediction. Or in other words, that's why the cross is the opposite of the benediction. Right? And then he goes on to say this. This is pretty profound. He said, did God the Father bless Jesus and keep him when he was on the cross? No. He handed him over into the power of those who hated him and wanted to kill him. Did God the Father make his face shine upon Jesus on the cross? No. He poured out his wrath and his crushing anger against sin upon him. Did God the Father turn his face towards Jesus on the cross and give him peace? No. He turned his face away from him so that Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? As Jesus lifted his eyes towards heaven for the first time in all eternity, there is no answering light from the Father's face. Even the Son turned away its countenance from Jesus, as if the universe itself could no longer bear to look upon him. At that moment, there was no peace. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was broken for our sin. He was abandoned for our faithlessness. He was cursed for our blessing. Jesus was cursed on the cross so that we may be blessed. And that's why Jesus is the guarantor of our blessing. And that's why as we read number 6, 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We know that each and every single one of those blessings is true for us because of Jesus. And the New Testament, it confirms this. Right? We are blessed in Jesus because Jesus came that we may have life and life abundantly. John 10:10. Jesus keeps us, And this is evident as he promises that no one can snatch us out of his hand. John 10:28. Jesus makes his face shine upon us as he is the light of all men. John 1. Jesus is gracious to us because he is the very source of our grace. Ephesians 2. We know that Jesus' countenance is always lifted upon us as he is our Emmanuel. Matthew 1. He promises to always be with us until the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. He's our high priest who's always interceding on our behalf. Romans 8. And lastly, but certainly not least, we know that Jesus gives us peace. John 14:27. That Jesus made peace. Colossians 1:20. That he himself is our peace. Ephesians 2. You see, Jesus took our curses upon himself so that we may be blessed in him. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. The coming of our Savior who would take our curse so that we may be blessed. This leads us to the last piece of the puzzle, though. Why does God give us his blessing? Well, Psalm 67:13 holds the key that unlocks this puzzle. It gives us the answer by reciting a summary of the benediction that we find in Numbers 6, 24 through 26. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there if you want. If not, you can just listen along. But as I said, Psalm 67:13, it gives us a summary of the benediction that we just read in Numbers. And then it tells us why we are given that blessing. Psalm 67:13 says this: May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, right? Sounds familiar? It's because it's a summary. Okay, and then it gives us the reason why. Why are we blessed, though? That your way may be known on earth. Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. As God's people, we are blessed by God in order that God's way and saving power may be known among all nations. We are blessed so that we may be a blessing. We are blessed so that we may go out into the world and share the gospel. We are blessed in order that God may be praised and receive all glory from all nations. So, Gashlin, when we're blessed by God, we must not forget the purpose behind it. It is not so that we can keep our blessing to ourselves, but rather each week you receive the benediction at the end of the service. You are receiving blessing that comes from God only through Jesus, so that you may leave the church and step out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ every single where you go. So let us remember where our blessing comes from. What our blessing is, how we receive that blessing, and why we receive that blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Lord, you pour out your blessing upon us even though we deserve it not. Lord, we thank you for what an incredible truth that is. That you sent your son Jesus to be cursed so that we may be blessed. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us dwell on these truths, reflect on these truths, meditate on these truths. And Lord, that we would always remember where our blessing is in you. That we would know what our blessing is. That we receive it only in your son Jesus. And that we are blessed so that we may share this blessing with others. Amen.